Numbers chapter 35. Numbers chapter 35, continuing where we left off last week, dealing with the ordinary city with extraordinary circumstances. That city, of course, is the city of refuge. And we began drawing some correlations between that city and our city of refuge, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. We have that place called heaven awaiting us. Numbers chapter 35 and verse 1. And the Bible reads, "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in. And ye shall give also unto the Levites suburbs for the cities round about them. And the cities shall they have to dwell in. And the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle and for their goods and for all their beasts. And the suburbs of the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites shall reach from the wall of the city and outward 1,000 cubits round about. And ye shall measure from without the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, and on the south side 2,000 cubits, and on the west side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side 2,000 cubits, and the city shall be in the midst. This shall be to them the suburbs of the cities." And read verse number 6 with me. "And among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be 6 cities for refuge, which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither, and to them ye shall add 42 cities. And so these cities were called cities of refuge because people fled there for refuge. You and I have the equivalent. We have fled to refuge to Jesus Christ. Amen. And he is our city of refuge. They had it in their time. We have it in our time. Amen. If you have not fled to Jesus Christ, your city of refuge, you're still in danger. If I were you, I would flee to Jesus Christ sooner than later. Amen. Going to finish talking about that this morning, the extraordinary, ordinary city with extraordinary circumstances. Amen. Father, thank you for giving us heaven by Jesus Christ, and that is our refuge. We can come to him, and anyone that is a refugee of sin can come to Christ. And Lord, I do thank you so much that all of us are guilty. We don't have to wait for a trial. We don't have to deliberate as to whether we have committed sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank you so much for Jesus Christ paying the penalty for our sins. Lord, help us to see the correlation between what Israel had in days of old and what we have today by way of Jesus Christ, and pray that it might be a blessing to our hearts and encouragement. Lord, once again, as the word of God is opened and taught and preached, we might leave here differently than when we came in. Maybe there's someone that does not know Christ as Savior. Save that man, woman, boy, or girl. Maybe we need to just put more things into our life that resembles Christ's likeness so that we can be more to others as they see our example. They may want to know what it means to be born again. Lord, may we leave here with the shine of Jesus Christ and with the glow of God on our lives and our hearts because we've been exposed to the spiritual word of God that can change our lives. So, Lord, thank you for dying. Thank you for being buried. Thank you, most of all, for rising the third day to secure our place of refuge in heaven. Lord, what a blessing it is to be saved today. Speak to hearts, change lives. Lord, direct our paths to become more Christ-like in what we think, say, and do. And Lord, may we leave here differently than when we came in, more godly, more holy, more endeavoring to walk the way Jesus Christ would have us to. Bless down the song, the message that's contained therein, and then the sermon, Lord, as we speak and preach the word of God. Help me to say those things that need to be said and refrain from things that need not be said for your honor and your glory. Save souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Brother Leslie has a group they're going to sing for us. Well, I'm on Shane. Yes, I am not on Shane. Thank you for reminding me. Amen. Well, looking at the ordinary city with extraordinary circumstances, last week we began just talking about some ordinary cities, but that are made extraordinary by what's contained therein, like Pisa is made great by the Leaning Tower. Amen. Yeah. London is made great, it seems, by what's contained therein, the London Bridge, the Tower Bridge, and all those other things there, the changing of the guards. Amen. You go over to Paris, and of course, the Eiffel Tower is what makes Paris great. Amen. People think of Paris, they think of the Eiffel Tower or the Louvre and things of that nature. Amen. You think of Arizona, guess what? You think about the Grand Canyon. But the cities around the Grand Canyon are made great by that great Grand Canyon. And people from all over the world come. And there's an ordinary city here, just coupled within several locations here in Israel, that are called cities of refuge. And the thing that makes these cities special is that someone had killed someone could flee there and be safe. Amen. And so it's called the city of refuge. We began looking at that last week, the ordinary city with extraordinary circumstances. And I want just to recap some things here because they're at the tail end of their pilgrimage. Of course, you know, Israel was to wander 40 years because of their disobedience. And at the conclusion, they were allotted different lands. And everybody got their land. The Levites here in chapter 35 seem to be last on the list. But I tell you what, they saved the best for last because in that were contained the cities of refuge. Amen. And in those cities of refuge, if you killed someone by accident, you could go there and be free until trial was held. Amen. By the way, there are some extenuating circumstances to that as well that we're going to learn about here in just a minute. But let's recap some things here. First of all, last week we talked about the plan for the ordinary city. These were ordinary cities given to the Levites, but then sprinkled throughout were these cities of refuge. And there was a land for the Levites living that was given. Notice verse number 3 there in chapter 35. And the cities shall they have to dwell in. These are the Levites. And the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle and for their goods and for all their beasts. And so there was a plan for the ordinary city, land for the Levites. Amen. There's a plan for us today. Guess what? If you're saved, God is not going to leave you here on the earth. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. God has a city for you, and it is a city that we have fled to for refuge. Amen. And by way of Jesus Christ, Hebrews says it this way, Hebrews 11:10. For he looked, speaking of Abraham, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. That city is called heaven. We looked at it last week, amen. We saw what's contained therein. There's a lot of great things about heaven, amen. But two of the best things that I like about heaven is, number one, God's going to be there. And number two, I'm going to be there. Amen. Hey, there's a lot of good places to be, but ain't no better place than heaven. Amen. And so there's two great things. God's going to be there, and I'm going to be there. I hope you're going to be there as well. Amen. And then not only the plan for the ordinary city, land for the Levites, but then we saw the purpose for the ordinary city. It's for refuge for the refugees. Notice chapter 35, verse 6. It says, and among the cities which ye shall give unto Levites, there shall be six cities for refuge, which he shall appoint for the manslayer. And so we went down through there and saw all the places where that is contained therein. Notice verse number 10. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye come over to Jordan, unto the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint unto you cities to be, what's the word? Of refuge. Notice verse number 12. And they shall be unto you cities for, what's the word? Refuge. Verse 13. And of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for, what's the word? Refuge. Amen. Verse number 14. Ye shall give three cities on this side Jordan. Three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of, what's the word? Refuge. Verse 15. These six cities shall be a, what's the word? Refuge. I believe God wants them to know that there is refuge. I don't care what you do. I don't care where you go. There is refuge. Hey, let me tell you something here. God is not sparing anything to go to great lengths to tell you that there is refuge in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God wants you to know there's refuge. He hung Jesus Christ on the cross for your sins and for my sins. We were guilty. We knew we were guilty. And we had to flee to him for refuge. That he died for our sins. He was buried. And he rose again the third day. Refuge. Refuge. I don't know about you folks, but when I heard the gospel, I knew I was guilty. I didn't need some city to hide out in until I had a trial. I knew I was guilty. And if you're honest, when you heard the word of God, you knew you were guilty too. You just tried to justify yourself. Say, preacher, how do you know that? Because I try to justify myself. I said, I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as them. May not be as good as them, but I'm not as bad as them. There's always somebody worse than you if you look around. Amen. You can always find them. But I'm glad that the cross is all equal. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Amen. There is none righteous, no, not one. It's even at the cross. So the purpose of the ordinary city was refuge for the refugees. We gave you the definition last week of a refugee is in the sense of taking someone in for an asylum. Asylum is protection granted by a nation to someone who left their native country as a political refugee or someone that is fleeing persecution. I gave you the criteria. And by the way, we let in a lot of people that really aren't refugees. If you look at the definition, to qualify for an asylum in the U.S., one must be fleeing persecution due to their race, religion, nationality, political party, or particular social group. We let in a whole lot of people that don't fall in any of those categories. We're not the only ones. Some other nations do, too. And it seems that most countries that let in the most refugees have the most problems. I'm just saying. I'm not running for president. I'm just saying. The cities of refuge were for those fleeing literally full of their lives. And the purpose for our heavenly city is a refuge. What were we fleeing? The dangers of hell. That was the danger pressed against us, amen. It had nothing to do with our race. It had nothing to do with our creed. It had nothing to do with how we were raised. It had everything to do with that we're sinners and in danger of hell. It had everything to do with that. So we can't say, well, I'm being persecuted because I'm black. I'm being persecuted because I'm white. I'm being persecuted because I'm from this part of the country. I'm being persecuted because I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican. I'm being persecuted. You're being under persecution for sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm so glad that we can go to Jesus. Hebrews 6:18 says it this way, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. We have eternal life refuge in Jesus Christ. And we stop with the people of the ordinary city. We saw the plan for the ordinary city, it's land for the Levites. The purpose for the ordinary city is refuge for the refugees, but then the people for the ordinary city. Who was it for? Well, according to verse 6, it's for the manslayer. Notice verse 6. And among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there should be six cities for refuge, which ye shall appoint for the, what's the word? Manslayer, that he may flee thither, and to them ye shall add 42 cities. The manslayer. The manslayer was a person guilty of someone's death who was suspected for murder. By the way, the people of our heavenly city, which is you and I, we don't need a trial. Say, preacher, I didn't commit murder. You steal someone's purity? You killed their purity. You killed that young man's purity. You killed that young woman's purity. Did you defame someone's name? You killed their reputation. Well, I'm not a killer in the sense that we look at it. I'm not talking about how we look at it. I'm talking about how God looks at it. God has a total different way of looking at things than you and I. We judge by this. God judges by this. Judges by the heart. The manslayer. We're all guilty but pardoned by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God and hallelujah. We came to Christ, our city of refuge, because we were guilty, not to see if we were guilty. Amen. By the way, if you're not guilty, you don't need to be saved, but you are guilty, so you need to be saved. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What am I saying? We got a city of refuge waiting already. Titus 3:5 says it this way, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. The people for the ordinary city, who was it? It was for the manslayer or the slayer, the killer, the one guilty, the one suspected of murder. The manslayer. We know we are guilty already. And God has prepared for you and I a refuge. His name is Jesus Christ. Notice the prerequisite for the ordinary city. which are the people for the ordinary cities, the manslayer or the slayer. The purpose is for refuge, for the refugees. The plan is for land for the Levites. But notice the prerequisite for the ordinary city. A prerequisite is something that is required as a prior condition for something else to happen or exist. This particular prerequisite was for the unaware slayer, the unauthorized slayer, and the unusual slayer. Notice down in verses 11 and 12, amen, the cities of refuge were first of all for safekeeping. Notice verses 11 and 12. Then ye shall appoint unto you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may go flee thither, which killeth any person at what? Unawares. They shall be unto you cities for refuge from who? The avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. Now, this is interesting because you got two different things going on here. Number one, you got a manslayer or someone fleeing to the city of refuge. But then you've got an avenger that's fleeing after the manslayer. In other words, if somebody steals from you, are you going to go after them? I'll tell you a funny story. It really is not funny. It was Christmas time, and we got a FedEx package at the house. My wife was pregnant with G2. And as soon as the guy dropped off the package at the door, some little old teenager came up and stole the package and ran down the street. My wife, pregnant at all, ran down the street after the boy. Pregnant. I thought, she is bold to be running down the street like that. She didn't catch him. But if she'd have caught him, I feel sorry for him. She probably would have took the box and beat him up. Why? She was the Avenger. She's like, look, I don't have to have a Captain America star on my chest. I'm mom, amen. You're trying to steal from me? I'll whoop you, boy. Young teenager, how dare you steal that? It was some devotional books in the box anyway. You know, maybe he got it and got saved, amen. What am I saying? The Avenger was after the manslayer. The manslayer had to have some place to go to flee. Unawares means by mistake or inadvertent. It's an inadvertent transgression. It's by error or ignorance. It's unwittingly. It's unintentional. It's without knowledge or it's without being aware that you've done it. It's unexpected. Notice what it says down there in verse number 11. I'm sorry, verse 12. And they shall be unto you for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. The avenger's responsibility was to get the one who killed someone. But notice what it says in verse 11. Then shall ye appoint ye cities to be refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares or by accident. There's a mishap that happens here. It's non-aggravated. Many hunting accidents happen this way. I remember going out target shooting with a buddy of mine years ago. And he gave me a 10-gauge shotgun. And y'all know anything about 10-gauge shotguns? The bullets come out, or the pellets come out here. And they go like this. I didn't know that. And so we're out shooting. Pow. And I'm having fun. I'm like blowing up this and blowing up that. Pow. Pow. You can't miss with this thing. Pow. Pow. And I'm just Rambo. Pow. 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 Just blowing up cactus and all kind of that. Pow. 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 Saw a bird. Bird was all up on the cactus like that. I was just shooting stuff. And then he set up some targets way down there. And as I was shooting at the targets, he said, let me go ahead and do this target over here. And I didn't know that the bullets go like this. And so I took aim and pow. And he like to jump out of his boots. I saw things moving close to him. I thought, I'm aiming down here. You're over there. And he turned around and looked at me. I couldn't hear what he said. So far down he. I know this. He didn't say praise God. Amen. He did not say praise God. If I had shot him, that would have been unawares. I wasn't trying to do it. It just happened. I needed more education on guns.
advocate for gun control and gun laws and sensibility. Amen. He got back and he said, shotguns are meant to start small and go big. I said, now you tell me. No wonder I couldn't miss. Amen. I shot everything in my path. I shot. What am I saying here? The unawares part is for a death that is non-aggravated. It's a mishap. It happens by accident. The avenger, on the other hand, was the next of kin, a relative that would seek revenge, or an eye for an eye. Remember that in the Bible, amen. Or a tooth for a tooth, or in this case, a life for a life. It was that mentality which existed at this time, and it was expected. It was expected that if you killed someone of my relatives, one of my relatives gonna kill you. It was expected. By the way, there was no police force back in those days. And hence, this is at the end. And because there was no police force, after this time, Joshua came. And after Joshua came, what came next? The judges. Because people had gotten away from what the Bible says, and they took matters in their own hands. But at this particular time, there was some kind of law that was going on. By the way, let me read you this commentary about the avenger. It says, the practice of blood vengeance was common in the ancient Near East. Divine law was formulated to control and limit blood vengeance in Israel. God's word regulated this practice. God's word regulating this practice differs significantly from the surrounding cultures. It distinguishes between accidental and premeditated killing. It forbids taking ransom money for the life of the murderer and prohibits taking the life of a murderer's relative in his place. The difference of practice was due to Israel's unique view of man as created in God's image. So they were not supposed to go out and take matters in their own hand and just kill any old body, because God had some prescribed regulations in place. But when you look at the prerequisite for the ordinary city, amen, these cities were for safekeeping. There were six of these cities. Notice verse 13 and 14. And of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on this side Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. Remember, three and a half, the other tribes had went on the other side, and then the other tribes on this side. So you had some cities on both sides. And the subjects for these cities, notice verse 15, who were the subjects? It was for safekeeping, six of them, but notice the subjects down in verse 15. Who was this for? These six cities shall be a refuge both for the who? Children of Israel. Equating that to today, it would be a U.S. citizen. And then for the stranger. Equating that to today, that would be a visitor. Someone just come in from the States with a passport to visit the Grand Canyon. But then it says, and for the sojourner among them. That would be equivalent to someone who's got a work visa or student permit. They're living there currently under certain conditions. God says, I don't care who it is. If they're the children of Israel, they've got protection. If they're a stranger, they've got protection. If they're coming here to sojourn, they've got protection. Everybody's got protection. Aren't you glad anybody can come to Jesus? Anybody can come to Jesus. Just like this, about anybody can come to America. Anybody can come to Jesus and be saved. Amen. The prerequisites for the ordinary city. Notice the requirements here. What each one is responsible for. By the way, when you look at this, the first one that they talk about is the slayer in an unawares situation. We talked about him in verses 11 and 12. Then you shall appoint unto you cities to be refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. This is the person that killed someone by accident. It was that hunting accident that we talked about. And verse 12, they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger. So I can go there so that the avenger of blood cannot come in and drag me out and kill me. The city is a refuge. It's a refuge. That the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. They would have a formal trial to make sure whether this was an accident or not. By the way, I submit to you that oftentimes murderers or killers know whether or not they intended to kill somebody.
People convicted or suspected of a crime oftentimes know in their heart of hearts whether they are guilty or not. There really need not be a trial, because the person oftentimes knows that they were guilty. But they try to find a slick lawyer to get them off the hook. They try to find some smooth technicality. They try to find some loophole to get them out of their problems. Find some lawyer that finds these loopholes and tries to get a hung jury when the person ought to be hung themselves. I'm just saying, we'd have a lot less problems with discipline if we deal with criminals. I'm just saying, I know that's not popular preaching. I know we don't like it. I know we live in America. Everybody needs a fair trial and this, that, and the other, and I agree with that. I'm just saying, if we dealt swifter and more severe with criminals, we wouldn't have as much crime. Hey, you go over to Turkey, and Turkey don't have a lot of crime. One of my buddies was over in Turkey one time. He said they had a public execution. A guy had done a crime, and they executed him. If you do some stealing, they cut off your hands. You can't steal no more, can you, unless you become a bandit with your toes. You ain't going to hop far. They'll shoot you in your bottom. Amen. They don't play in a lot of those Middle Eastern countries, and they don't have a lot of crime. Now, I don't agree with a lot of things they do, but I am saying this, that the crime is less. It's less. You get over in London, they have banned guns, but all the bad guys have guns. The good guys have none. Amen. I'm just saying that when you look at this, many times the slayer in the unaware situation knew whether it was an accident or not. I was dealing with a case one time where an individual gun went off in his seat and killed his girlfriend. And the individual had to go to prison for several years. And he pleaded that I'm innocent. I don't know your heart. I don't know if you're innocent or guilty. I do know that guns normally don't shoot themselves. And for you to say that you've got a loaded gun in your front seat and it went off and shot your girlfriend just doesn't compute. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. It could have happened. I'm just saying you know whether you were guilty or not in that instance. And so it was for, number one, the slayer in an unaware situation. Number two is for the slayer in an unauthorized situation. The slayer in an unauthorized situation. Notice verse number 16. And this unauthorized situation violated the sixth commandment, which said, thou shalt not kill, in Exodus 20:13. Notice verse 16. It says down there, and if he smite him, where am I at here? Yeah. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a what? Murderer. The murderer shall surely be what? Put to death. And if he smite him with throwing a stone, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a what? Murderer. The murderer shall what? Surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with an hand weapon of wood, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a what? Murderer. The murderer shall surely be what? Put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. God said, give that revenger, avenger, give him liberty. Let him go ahead and kill that man. Amen. Why? He took a life. And man was created in the image of God. Hey, we still have capital punishment in this city. It doesn't get executed all the time. But we still have it. Revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. Say, oh, it's so barbaric. Crime was cut down when they exercised these rules. And when they didn't exercise these rules, crime went rampant. Sin went rampant. When they didn't exercise these rules. The avenger of blood, verse 19, himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred or hurl at him by laying of weight that he die, or in enmity smite him with his hand that he die, he that smote him shall surely be what? Put to death. For he is a what? Murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. He said, look, buddy, you are going down. What is this? This is the unauthorized or unlawful act of taking another's life. The slayer in an unauthorized situation. He could still flee, but when he's found guilty, guess what? It's over. It's over. It's over. Then the last criteria is a slayer in an unusual situation. So the first one was an unaware situation. The second one, unauthorized situation. The last one, an unusual situation. Verse number 22. This was possibly an accident, but not provoked. Verse 22. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or have cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm, Then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood. According to these judgments, the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood. The congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and he shall abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. So if he did kill someone, it's unusual, it was an accident, the crowd comes together, the congregation says, okay, he's guilty or not guilty, he's got to go back to the city of refuge, he's got to stay there until the high priest dies. Amen. Hey folks, what am I saying? In all three of these situations, the slayer had to go to the city of refuge. And whether he was innocent or guilty, he still had to stay there till they killed him or till the high priest died. Once the high priest died, he can come out. Aren't you glad it's not like that with Jesus? We got to go someplace and sit over there until a certain period of time. Amen. Our high priest never dies. Hey, he liveth ever, the Bible says. Amen. Our high priest does not die. Amen. Praise God and hallelujah. When we came to Christ, we knew we were guilty, and that's why we came. It wasn't to get a trial. It is to plead for mercy for the crimes that we have committed against Almighty God, our sin. Amen. To get the extraordinary circumstance applied to our lives, we came to Jesus knowing that we were guilty. But notice, not only the prerequisite for this ordinary city. Notice the particulars for this ordinary city. The particulars for this ordinary city. Notice verse number 26. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled. In other words, he goes to the city of refuge and he leaves. And the avenger, verse 27, of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge. And the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood. What? So in other words, picture this. Somebody commits a murder, they go to prison, but they break out of prison, and the person's brother that saw him, that knows he killed him, shot him for killing his brother. The person that shot him wouldn't be guilty of a crime because he should have stayed in prison. That's basically what they're saying. Now, I know our laws don't operate that way. But I had a similar situation to that, not to this degree. But someone had burglarized our house, and it was found out that it was a relative of mine. And I found my relative on the street, and I beat the tar out of him. Why? Because I found him who had stolen from my dad. My dad was hurt. Some precious things were taken from my dad that were irreplaceable. And I saw the crook on the street and I beat the criminal down. Now, it's not supposed to work that way. And I was not saved, by the way. That was BC. That was back in my before Christ days. I want y'all to say, preacher, beating up people. Amen. No, I took matters into my own hands. But that would be the equivalent for someone to commit a crime, then break out, and then the avenger sees him and shoots him. He says, the avenger is not guilty at all because you should have stayed in prison where you was at. You should have stayed in the city of refuge. You should have stayed there. There's protection there. Hey, let me tell you something. There's protection in Jesus Christ. Nobody can harm us. Nobody can get to us. Satan has to have access to us by Jesus Christ. He's got to say, like Job, I'll let down the hedge, but only do what I say. Amen. And so if this guy left the particulars, he was going to be guilty. It could cost him his life. Say, preacher, leaving the city could cost his life. Yes, it could. Yes, it could. Notice what it says in verse 28, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. Let me give you an equivalent to what he's talking about here. Turn over to 1 Kings chapter 2. Give you the equivalent of what's going on here. 1 Kings chapter number 2. You got to go forward a little bit. And show you this illustrated in 1 Kings chapter number 2. Now, of course, this is hundreds of years after Moses and his time. But in 1 Kings chapter 2, I want us to see this principle, because if the manslayer went beyond the boundaries of the city and was found by the avenger, he could be killed. 1 Kings chapter number 2, verse number 36. What's going on here? There's a guy by the name of Shimei. And Shimei had cursed David. And by the law, he should have died for cursing the king. And Solomon is going to give him an ultimatum so that he does not die. 1 Kings chapter 2. Notice, let's pick it up in verse number 36. Verse 36, and the king, that's Solomon, sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, build thee an house in Jerusalem and dwell there and go not forth thence any whither. You know what he's saying? Get in your house, don't go nowhere. That's what he's saying. What is that like? That's like his city of refuge. Don't go anywhere. Stay there. For it shall be, verse 37, that on the day that thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely, what's the word? Die. Thy blood shall be upon who? Thine own head. And Shimei said unto the king, saying is good, as my lord the king has said, so will thy servant do. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. It came to pass at the end of 3 years. 3 whole years he obeyed and stayed in his so-called city of refuge. 3 years he stayed there. Of course, you think, well, the king must have forgotten. Maybe the king won't find out. Maybe the king won't see. Sort of like your children when you're not at home. They try to get into stuff they know not to be not. I'm so glad for cameras nowadays. I take pictures of my kids all the time doing stuff they know they ought to be doing. Did you see us on the camera? Yeah. You want me to play it back for you? No. Hey, I didn't think so. Verse 39, it came to pass at the end of 3 years that two of the servants of Shimei ran away to Achish, son of Maacah, king of Gath, and they told Shimei, saying, behold, thy servants be in Gath. Shimei rose and saddled his ass and went to Gath, wrong mistake, to Achish to seek his servants, and Shimei went and bought his servants from Gath. And it was told Solomon, all right, there goes the scuttlebutt, amen. It was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath. Do you know the king got eyes everywhere? Amen. Some people think the preacher got eyes everywhere. That's just the Holy Spirit, though. And it was told Solomon in verse 41 that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. And the king sent and called for Shimei, said unto him, notice this, did I not make thee to swear by the Lord and protested unto thee, saying, know for certain on the day thou goest out and walkest abroad any whither that thou shalt surely die? Solomon said, didn't I tell you that? Wait a minute. If I go to the city of refuge and it's told that you need to stay there unless you die when the avenger of blood sees you and you come out, whose fault is that? Amen. And notice that at the end of verse 42, and thou saidest unto me, the word that I have heard is good. Verse 43, why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged thee with? The king said moreover to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, that thou didst to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head. Uh-oh, here we go. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. In other words, he's saying, no blame is going to be on me for what's about to happen to you. So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, that he what? Died. And the kingdom was what? Established in the hand of Solomon. That is the same example of what happens to someone who fled into the city of refuge and called themselves going to come out of the city of refuge under the protection. I'm so glad my salvation is not probation. I'm so glad that I don't have to stay tied to something. Jesus keeps hold on me. I don't have to keep hold. It says we're kept by the power of God. Hallelujah. I don't have to do any keeping myself. Once the high priest died, the slayer could go free. Jesus Christ is our high priest and is eternal and will never die. One guy puts it this way. When we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, our sins are all forgiven and judgment is passed. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Salvation is not probation. If the fugitive left the city, he was in danger of his death. In Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. Our high priest will never die. Therefore, we are saved eternally. Tell you, Warren Wiersbe said that. Couldn't put it any better. Couldn't put it any better. In Christ, our city of refuge, it's impossible for us to leave or be lost from our salvation. John 6:37, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out.
John 10:9 says it this way, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Notice that, go in and out. Amen. By the way, City of Refuge, I said it last week, the priest didn't go looking for anybody. They had to flee for refuge. You and I went looking for Jesus Christ. He said, He came looking for you first and put it on your heart. Then you went looking for him. He put it on your heart to seek after him. I don't know about you. When I got saved, I was seeking. I was looking under every rock. Where is Jesus? Where is God? Where is salvation? Where is it at? I know it's got to be here somewhere. I've got this Quran over here. I've got the Catholic school dogma over here. I've got the Jehovah's Witness over here. I've got the Mormons over here. It's got to be here somewhere. A divine institute of creation of metaphysical science. It's got to be here somewhere. I was looking. Why? God had put it in my heart. I lifted every religious rock of foolishness that you can think of. Why? Because God had put something here to seek after him. Why? I wasn't complete. I wasn't complete. I was incomplete. But Christ made me whole. Amen. Christ made me whole. Hey, folks, Hebrews 13:5, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. John 11:26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Hallelujah. Praise God. I have security. I have security. Last point, folks, the purity for the ordinary. See, why was this so important to have these cities of refuge? Why was it so important to have a place where the slayer could flee? Why was it so important to have these cities spread out all over the place and to have one central location that they could go to in each of these distinct locations? Why was this so important? I'm glad you asked. The purity for the ordinary city. God didn't want any polluting or defiling of the land because he was there. Notice down in verse number 29. Verse number 20, back in Numbers 35. And notice what God says. So these things should be for a statute of judgment unto you throughout your generations and all your dwellings. So this was supposed to happen continually. Verse 30. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses, but one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. We still have that today. Amen. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer. So you're not going to take any bribe for him or whatsoever, which is guilty of death. But he shall surely be put to death. Now, you say, well, I'll give you some money if you don't kill me. No, I'm sorry, buddy. Yeah. Well, I'll give you land if you don't kill me. I'm sorry. No. Well, what can I give you? Your life. Why? You took a life. And that demands justice. Notice verse number 32. And ye shall take no satisfaction for him that has fled to the city of refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land unto the death of the priest. So the person that was innocent that stayed until the time of the priest, he was supposed to come back, and there was going to be no ransom for him either. And notice verse 33. Because he says, I don't want the land polluted. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are. For blood, it defileth the land. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein. Notice this, but by the blood of him that shed it. And when it comes to us, Jesus Christ had to come as a man. And he had to shed the blood of a man, but of 100% God. Amen. And 100% man. Amen. The humanity of man, the divinity of Almighty God, because man sinned, man had to die, and that man was Jesus Christ, the God man. He said, the land is not going to be cleansed but by the blood of him that shed it. Verse 34, he says, don't pollute it, but don't defile it. Defile not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit, wherein, notice that, I dwell, notice the end, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. He said, I don't want it polluted. I don't want it defiled. I don't want the murderer going free. I want to get this thing cleansed. I want to clean it up because I dwell there. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's going to deal with sin. I'm so glad that we have a sin bearer. His name is Jesus Christ. I can come to my refuge. I can go to him and I can get cleansed. I can say, oh, God, forgive me. I've sinned and I can get cleansed. You can get cleansed. He said, that's the reason. The purity of the ordinary city. He said, I dwell there. You and I can be pardoned. We can be protected and we can be at peace because our city of refuge, Jesus Christ, gives us salvation, gives us security, gives us serenity. Jesus saves. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We can get pardon. He secures or protects us. Wherefore, Hebrews 7:25, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. In other words, Jesus Christ is constantly making intercession for us. He's constantly standing in the gap for you. He's constantly pleading for you and I. I'm so glad that this is not like the city of refuge they had. That I come to Jesus Christ, but I can walk out and still get killed. I come to Jesus Christ, but this guilt is still hanging over me until the death of the high priest. Hey, I'm cleansed right away. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I've got a past that I'm not proud of. I did some things that I'm not excited about. I've gone some places that I don't want to talk about, but praise God, I'm cleansed. Jesus Christ has made me whole. I don't have to worry about it anymore. I don't have to stay in a city. I can go and tell everybody and proclaim my Savior to anybody that wants to hear and people that don't want to hear. Amen. Jesus saves, he pardons. Jesus secures, he protects. Then Jesus gives serenity. He gives peace. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus gives me serenity. Folks, they were given back in those days, city of refuge. I believe it was a very, very vivid picture of what was to come for you and I, Jesus Christ. But it far surpassed their city of refuge in that our high priest is eternal. In that when we come, we can get refuge, but we get salvation as well. We get security as well. And we get serenity. I don't have to worry about it. I can have peace. Amen. Peace of mind. God's not going to throw my sin back in my faith. God's not going to let me go. He's going to save me and keep me forever because my high priest ever lives to make intercession. I don't have to worry about it. Folks, they had to worry here. Shimei found out the hard way that this stands. I don't know where you're at today when it comes to Jesus Christ, but I can tell you this. You'll never find a city of refuge for you and I outside of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can try the church. You can try drugs. You can try alcohol. You can try pornography. You can try stealing. You can try working. You can try your sports arena. You can try your media. You can try all sorts of social clubs. But outside of Jesus Christ, you're not going to find a city of refuge.
That's right.
That's eternal, that will live forever.
Amen.
And if you don't have that today, I invite you to receive Christ today. Or preacher, I don't need refuge. I already told you. We didn't flee to find out if we were guilty. We already know we're guilty. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Folks, they had to flee for refuge. You and I have to flee to Christ for refuge to be saved. If you're not saved here today, I invite you today, come and let us take a Bible, show you how you can be saved. You know in your heart of hearts you're guilty. You know in your heart of hearts you're guilty. You know you've done something. And if not done something, you are something. Called a sinner. All have sinned. So whether you believe you've done something, it matters not because you are something. A sinner, but God loves sinners. He's a friend of sinners.
Amen.
He loves publicans. He loves sinners. He loves us all. But he does have a way. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He's our city of refuge. Receive him today. Christian, if you've got that city of refuge, praise God for the serenity he gives you. Praise God for the security that he gives you, that you're saved forevermore. You'll never be lost. Praise God that he is the one who saved you. Give him the glory. Never get over the fact that you are saved. Never get over that. That out of all the people, Brother Tony looked it up, 7.7 billion people in the world. God thought enough of you to save you. I can't even write 7 billion hardly. But out of 7 billion people, God looked down and saw you and said, I want you. Out of 7 billion. Talk about love. For God so loved the world. By the way, he loves you too. Thank him today just for him loving you. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around.